Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
So we've had quite a week this week as I look around and I think about the ways this church is participating in compassion and justice and joy. On Friday night, the sanctuary was filled with kids and I was a little disappointed. There was this thing called Jingle Jam. And I shared this at the 7:30 service. I was expecting to get some jam. And they didn't give out jam, and so Mary Beth Hurley was just so sweet. She went out and got me a little thing of Smuckers and put a bell on it. So I did get some Jingle Jam, but how awesome that was. Don't want to drop that. How awesome that was to see all the kids jumping up and down and having fun, but even more so, the joy that was on the faces of all those that were serving and leading and helping our young people. It was beautiful, beautiful to see that. The Winter Wonders and all that you have done, so thank you for participating in that and bringing justice to the world in a simple, sweet way. We were overwhelmed with the number of gifts that you brought for the hygiene packets that will be made on Winter Wonders night and be sent down to City Team and given to people who are living on the streets there, bringing a sense of justice to those people there. How wonderful and beautiful that is. And the mitten tree, you know, just remember that and think of what that is, that partnership with that city church. And folks that are really working hard to keep shelter and food. And so just the sweet gift of warm hands and warm heads and connection to us and relationship with us, how wonderful that is. And you walked in, and I didn't know you were doing this. It was a part of my message before. But the work with our youth, and particularly the commissioning class, started this week. And those young 8th and 9th graders that you hear later on closer to Easter, sharing what Jesus Christ has done for them in their lives. It's overpowering when we hear those messages. And so I thank our youth ministry team for bringing compassion and justice and joy to our young people that they might understand the true sense of what that means. I know some of you have been pondering this week because I've had a few conversations and I received some emails that this really is a season, this Advent season, to stop and listen. Listen to the voice of God. Not everything that's around us, not our own voices, but listen to the voice of God. And see how when we listen, we return and honor the beautiful gifts that God has given to each one of us. So the question there is before us still in this Advent season. How are you doing in your pondering? What is God saying to you? Because I know God is speaking. So the question turns then to this day. If God is speaking and we are listening, how are we invited to respond? So holy and beautiful Father, we ask that you would open each one of our hearts, each one of our hearts to your words, your truth, your grace, your mercy. We thank you in a world that is so messy that you are not messy at all. In your power and your awesomeness, that you are beauty and peace and hope. So lead us with that peace and hope this day. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we continue to sing our psalms of Christmas. our songs of Christmas as we turn to Psalm 72, beginning with verse 1. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all the generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. In his days, may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. Psalm 72 was a coronation song written by Solomon here following his father, the king, King David. This song was used as that coronation psalm, lifting up all the attributes that we would want to have in a king that was leading Israel. Compassion, justice, joy, righteousness, peace. All these wonderful attributes. You know, I don't think I fully got it, and I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you this truthfully. I didn't fully get the king, because I've studied scripture so much and I've seen what the kings of Israel have done. Up and down and up and down, serving God, not serving God, the bad things, the good things, all that. I focused so much on that, I forgot about the king of Israel here a bit. And you know what helped me? Netflix. Netflix, I couldn't believe it. So, be honest, raise your hand. Are there any other Downton Abbey grievers out there? Right? January's coming and Downton Abbey is not coming back. It's over, it's gone, right? So on Netflix, there's a show. So if you don't have Netflix and you're a Downton Abbey person, go get it. The Crown. There's a show on there, The Crown, and it's following Queen Elizabeth II. Starts with her father, deals with his death, and then Queen Elizabeth II becoming queen. What was so interesting to me as I was watching the show, it just kind of overwhelmed me, and it took me to scripture. And I mean that in every way. When she takes that pledge at her coronation of being the defender of the faith. And you see throughout this show how she really strives to be the defender of the faith, even in matters of her family and different issues that she's emotionally torn, at least in the show, they really display her as trying to be that defender of faith, that viceroy. The viceroy, the representative of the king, or the representative of God. In her case, it was pretty amazing that it all kind of clicked at that point. Of course I knew that the king was there to lead. Of course I've celebrated the things of David and many other of the great kings that are there. I never really paid that much attention to being the viceroy, that representative of the king. That was David's job, Solomon's job. The reality is none of them could do it fully. Certainly Queen Elizabeth II couldn't do it either, and she would admit that. None could follow what this coronation song is all about, but we also have those words in Isaiah that are pointing us to the one who can be the King of Kings and do everything that this representative of God is called to do. Isaiah chapter 11, a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, from the roots of the branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He will judge with his heart. The true King of Kings, we know who we're talking about. It's not a surprise. It's the Messiah who's to come. It's the one that we're waiting for in this Advent season. It's Jesus who is the King of Kings. And so we have that, and we know that, and we celebrate that. Jesus, Viceroy, representation of God the Father here on earth. So in this season of Advent, as you're taking time to stop and listen and ponder, we have that question before us. How is God calling us to be Viceroys? For who is the representative of God on earth today? Do you know who that is? The body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church. It's you. It's every one of you. You are the viceroys of God, the representation of God on earth, so that others may see God's glory, compassion, justice, and joy, and so many other attributes of God. This week, I read a story about Stanford and Patty Kipling. Stanford and Patty Kipling, in their 80s, living off a lot of medicine. Medicine price has gone up so much, they weren't able to pay for their car payment. In steps Joe Ford, and I'm being serious about that name. Joe Ford steps in and he's a repo man. He has a repossession business, but he tries to be a good guy. He always knocks on the door, goes and tells the people what's going on so they can get any personal goods out of their car. You hear his story about the number of times that gunshots have gone off near him as he's had to do his job. He went up and he met them and he heard their story a little bit. He helped them get out to their car. He helped them clean all their personal goods out of their car. He put it on his tow truck and he took it away, and his heart was breaking the whole time he did that. He called the bank, as they were telling the whole story. He called the bank and said, "Is there anything that can happen?" "No, there's just absolutely nothing that can happen. They're too far behind in their payments. They owe $2,500 on their 1998 Couldn't take that. Compassion seared deeply in his heart. Through his own money and a GoFundMe page, he was able to raise enough money to purchase the car, to get it completely fixed up and detailed, and give them $1,000 check as he brought their car back to them. Viceroy, representative of compassion, Joe Ford did that in a beautiful way. December 1st, 1955, booking number 7053. You know who was holding that booking number 7053, December 1st, 1955? Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks, Viceroy for Justice, stood up and said, "This isn't right. This isn't how we are meant to be, to live with each other, to walk with each other." She didn't know she was starting a whole movement, but she did, didn't she? Not being nasty, not being anything other than just saying, "I'm not going to the back of the bus. I had a long day at work. I'm tired. I'm staying right here." And from that moment, a representation of justice came to our country and changed who we are. Compassion, justice, now we have joy. I saw a picture this week. Gotta admit another thing to you. Clowns freak me out. I just don't like clowns. I think I shared this once before, but you know, when Bear was born, a very close friend of Patty's, and I hope she never hears this story, gave us the gift of this sweet little stuffed clown that be in his nursery, and I said, huh, no way. We are not having a clown in Barrett's nursery. No way. So I hid it in the closet, and somebody told me, well, that could be kind of scary too, but anyway, just I didn't have to look at it. So this clown was away, so I saw the picture of this clown on the news this week, and I went, ooh, a clown. And then I clicked on the story, and I was convicted. This man's name, 24-year-old man, his name is Anas al-Bashan. He ran a ministry in the city of Aleppo. For years, they've been struggling with the civil war and violence there. There's really no social work going on and no one being trained, but this 24-year-old boy reached out to children and changed the lives of many. 350,000 people left in Aleppo at this time. About 100,000 of them are children. Let that sink in. Bombs dropping every day. 350,000 people, 100,000 of them children. Anas dressed up like a clown. He did all kinds of things to help tell stories to children, to bring some joy and lightness to their lives. And why his picture was on the news? Because he was killed by a bomb on Tuesday. This guy who stayed in Aleppo, as his family went on, in fact, he got married 2 months ago, stayed in that city, sacrificed a lot of things to stay in that city, to continue to reach out to children and bring them joy. As viceroys, as representatives of God, we need to be doing these things. And I hope none of us has to give up our lives to do that. But it happens sometimes. But we need to be doing these things that go beyond just the everyday so that people can see the truth, the reality, the presence, the joy, the compassion, and the justice of God. And the reality in that is sometimes we need a little help and motivation. So we need to look at the wider picture. And Mary Jo is here, and I don't want to upset her, and I should have talked to her before the service, but we had the service for her mom. It was so beautiful here in every way. The music, the way that you honored her, your sister honored her, it was wonderful. But I wanted to bring a message of hope to that service. And as I was sharing that message, really focused on, we have to know where our hope comes from. We have to focus on the eternal to empower us in the daily. And there's nothing wrong with that. So at that service, I shared this quote from A.W. Tozer. When the followers of Jesus lose their interest in heaven, they will no longer be happy Christians. When the followers of Jesus lose their interest in heaven, they will no longer be happy Christians. And when they are no longer happy Christians, they cannot be a powerful force in a sad and sinful world. It may be said with certainty that Christians who have lost their enthusiasm about the promises of heaven to come have also stopped being effective Christians in life and witness to the world to come. And later on, I shared about C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, who said, you know, some of the most powerful witnesses we have as we look through history are those who are focused more on the heavenly than the earthly. And because they were so focused on knowing the truth of the hope and the reality of that eternal place that God has prepared for each one of us, those that lean on that have the most powerful witness. So remember that voice of Viceroy's. Remember that, children of God. Remember that, representatives to the world. Be those happy Christians who have that power to go into a sad and sinful world and bring hope, compassion, justice, and joy, and celebrate that each and every one of you is called something by Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus calls you? Friend. Jesus calls you friend. And it's your friend who is inviting you to come to this table. Join him in this meal. Be nurtured and nourished in his comfort and love, compassion, justice, and joy.